Today, Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei Dalad. We will begin on Daf Pei Dalad Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Yesh Mitaros Labaleim Vasuris Liyevmeim. There are certain situations where the woman was allowed to be married to the husband who passed away without children, but her Yavam she may not have beer with, and therefore she's not a candidate for Yibam. And then there are situations that they may be married, they may have Yibum with their husband's brother, but they were Asuras Labaleim, they were not allowed to have relations with the men who they were married to. Their situation with Teres Laila Ve'elu, the common situation that they were mutter to both, and then their situation is Asuras Laila Ve'elu. And as Tosfos points out, all of the halachas that we're going to learn in our Mishnah today are really halachas that we've learned previously in our Masechta. The reason they're repeated in our Mishnah today is just to summarize many of the halachas that we learned previously. Another reason, Tosfos says, why this Mishnah had to be taught again. The Mishnah is taught because, as we just learned, there are certain situations, the Mishnah said, where a woman was not allowed to be married to her husband, but she is allowed to be married to a Yavam. So we would think, says Tosfos, that the entire purpose of Yibum is only that the husband, that a marriage that was supposed to be taking place, and unfortunately there were no children, should be able to be perpetuated. But here what we're dealing with a situation where this marriage, as we can understand, and we'll see examples of Mr. Shimon the Gemara, should never have taken place. Maybe under those circumstances, there is no Yibum. That's what the Mishnah comes to teach us, that there is still a Chiv Yibum under those situations. Why? Because even, says the Nemukah Yosef, even though this brother should have never married the wife that he married, the purpose of Yibum, says the Nemukah Yosef, is Lahakim Shem Lachiv, to see that the name of this brother who unfortunately died without children should be perpetuated. And that we want should happen no matter what. So our Mishnah said that Elu, the Mishnah says, Ve'elu Materis Labaleim Asuras Liyevmeim. These are the situations where a woman is allowed to be married to her husband but not to her Yavam. It says the Mishnah, Kohen Hadjit Shenasas Almana. If a Kohen Hadjit married an Almana, and the halacha is that a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry Kohen Almanah. And this individual, V'yeshloi Och Kohen Gadol, who of course, as we've learned many times, is not allowed to be married to a Almanah. Or Cholol, Shenasuk Shera. The halacha is a Cholol is allowed to marry a woman, any woman. But the halacha is that once the Cholol marries the woman, the halacha is that this woman is prohibited to become a chalala, and if his brother is a kohen, the kohen is not allowed to marry a chalala, and therefore v'yesh lo ach kosher. If this kohen has a brother who's a kosher kohen, he's not allowed to be married to this woman who is a chalala. Because as we said, any time a kohen or a kohen gadol marries a woman who he's not allowed to be married to, the woman becomes a chalala. And the child that's born from that marriage also is a cholol or cholola. Yisrael shenasu bas Yisrael. We have a situation where Yisrael married a bas Yisrael, completely fine. But this Yisrael has yesh le'ach mamzer, has a brother who's a mamzer. In other words, the father married two women. One woman was a perfectly fine marriage, and the other marriage was with a woman who's a mamzeris. And the child of a mamzeris is a mamzer. So this mamzer brother, of course, the wife, the yavama, may not marry. Mamzer shenasu mamzeris, or if a mamzer married a mamzeris, which is perfectly legitimate, and this mamzer dies without children, v'yesh lo ach Yisrael, but he has a brother who's a Yisrael, all of these are examples, says the Mishnah, of mutaris l'baleim, where they were allowed to be married to the husband, v'suris l'yavmeim, but they were not allowed to be married, they're not allowed to marry the Yavama. Says Seder Rishonim, the Tana discusses situation, why didn't the Tana begin with talking about the right case, that the were mataris leilu leilu? So the reason he doesn't do this is that is common, explained the Ritva. And since it's common, that's not what we need the Mishnah to discuss. We don't need our Mishnah to discuss a situation where everything is being done correctly. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is when things aren't being done correctly, and the halacha is that still, as we're learning, sometimes the mutar levaim, sometimes the suras levaim, etc. The Mishnah spoke about where v'yesh le'ach kohen gadol, says the Gemara. How's that possible? The answer is that the first brother married, says the Tosfos Yontif, that the first brother married a kohen gadol, the first wife married a kohen gadol, and then the second brother was appointed to be the kohen gadol. Continues the Gemara, v'elu mataris levmeim. The following are examples of women who may marry the yavam, however v'asuras lebaleim, they may not marry their husband. Kohen gadol shekiddush alamana. If a kohen gadol did kedushin with alamana, so since he only did kedushin with the almana, she doesn't become a chalala, because a woman doesn't become a chalala only if there was an improper relations. V'yesh le'ach kohen hedyot, so he has a brother who's a kohen hedyot, so there the halacha is that she didn't become a chalala because she only had kedushin, and therefore the kohen hedyot brother could do yibum with her. And in fact, says the Tosfos Yontif, we often discuss in our Masechta, if a woman who only had an erusin with her husband, is she still required to have yibum? Says the Tosfos Yontif, this Mishnah is a perfect raya to that subject, because our Mishnah is teaching us that she only had erusin with the kohen gadol, and since she only had erusin with the kohen gadol, she's still obligated to have yibum. Next case. Kosher shenasa chalala. A kohen that married a chalala, and a kohen is not supposed to marry a chalala. But now, v'yesh le'ach chalal, but he has a brother who's a chalal, and there is no problem with a chalal marrying a chalala. And therefore, the kohen should not have married the chalala. But the yavam, who is a chalal, is allowed to marry a chalala. Yisrael she'esh shenasa mamzeres. A perfectly fine Yisrael married a mamzeres, which of course is a chi of lav. The Torah Kedoshah says, Layova mamzer b'kal Hashem. However, he has a brother who's a mamzer, as we gave an example earlier. So even though he should not have married this woman, the yavam is allowed to do yibum with her. Or mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael. The halacha is that when a mamzer marries a bas Yisrael, it's not supposed to take place. V'yesh le'ach Yisrael, but his brother is a regular Yisrael. So to our husband, she wasn't supposed to be married. To the yavam, it's perfectly fine. These are all examples of mutaris lebaleim v'asuris lebaleim. And as we said earlier, the Nukhi Yosef and all the Rishonim say that our Mishnah is teaching us a fantastic chiddush, that even with a marriage that should not have taken place, but it was a marriage, because these are all examples of Chai V'Lavin, and we've learned many times that Kedusha with Chai V'Lavin are considered a valid Kedushin. Since it's a valid marriage, since this is considered a valid marriage, there is a room for Yibam after the husband dies. Says the Mishnah, V'Eilu Asuras L'Eilu L'Eilu. Now the Mishnah discusses a situation where you're not allowed to be married to either. The first example we mentioned earlier, Kohen Gadol Shenos Almanam. The Kohen Gadol married an Almanam, which of course was not permitted. V'yesh le'ach Kohen Gadol. So they're both not allowed to be married to her. Oy, Kohen Hedyot. Or even if he has a brother who's a Kohen Hedyot. But once the Kohen Gadol married the Almanam, so she becomes, which was a marriage that should not have taken place, since it's a marriage that should not have taken place, she becomes a chalala. So even though the brother is a regular kohen is not supposed to marry a chalala. Kohen, kasha shenas chalala, or a kohen married a chalala, again, a marriage that should not have taken place, v'yesh lo'ach kasher, and he has another brother, and he has a brother who is a fine kohen. Neither is supposed to be married to the cholo. Yisrael shenos mamzeres should not have taken place. V'yeshlach Yisrael, and the yavam is a regular Yisrael, so neither of them should be married to this woman. Mamzer shenos bas Yisrael, the mamzer married bas Yisrael, again a marriage that we've been discussing should not take place. V'yeshlach mamzer, he has a brother who's a mamzer. In all of these cases, she should not have been married. She should not and should not marry Asuras Leilu Leilu, both of them. V'shach kol noshim, as we said earlier, the halacha is that the majority cases are where everything is fine. Mataras lebaleim uliv meim refer to situations where she's allowed to be married both to her husband and to the yavam. We learned earlier in our masechta the concept of shniyos. The concept of shniyos, going back to Daf Chaf Aleph and Daf Chaf Beis, we learned there are certain women who are not considered ervis midaraisa. They're only considered ervis midrabonim. As we know, they're called shniyos. Shniyos midavrei soifrim. If somebody married, you could have the various examples that we just learned could also be by shniyos. You could have a situation where she's a shniyah labal, she's a shniyah to her husband and not to the yavam. In such a situation, she'll be a sur labal. She's not supposed to be married to her husband, but materis liyavam. Or you could have the other way around. Shniyah liyavam, shniyah labal. A woman is a shniyah to her yavam, but not to her husband. In such a situation, a sur liyavam, materis labal. You could have a situation that she's a shniyah lezeh lezeh. She's a shniyah both to her husband and to yavam. And that will be a situation of a sur lezeh lezeh. The halacha is that a woman whose husband dies or divorces her is entitled to the ksuba. She's also entitled, very often does the husband include in the ksuba, Tosfos ksuba. He adds to the basic amount of the ksuba. She's entitled to collect that. She also is entitled to get back the nechsei melug. As we said, the nechsei melug are assets that she owns, that the halacha is that those assets remain hers. The husband eats the peiris, and then the nechsei tzoyim barzel are assets that she brings into the marriage, whose value is assessed, and that assessed value is put into the ksuba. And no matter what happened to those assets, whether they went up in value or they went down in value, that is the amount that she's entitled to when the marriage is terminated. Our Mishnah teaches us a very interesting din, that if a woman was married to a person whom she was not supposed to be married because their relationship was a relationship of a shniya, Issa Drabbanan, Chazal made a rule, they fined her that she's not entitled to the ksuba or some other benefits that a wife is entitled to. And it's very interesting. Chazal was stricter, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, Chazal was stricter with a woman with a marriage which represents a marriage of a shniyah versus when the marriage involved an issa d'oraisa. And the reason is, as we're going to learn, divrei soifrim tzrichim chizik yoyse mishal Torah. An issa d'rabbanan requires strengthening, requires that people give it the proper respect. And by instituting the fines, the punishment that we're going to be learning in the Masechta, in the Mishnah now, that was a way to deter her, deter them, for her and from getting married. Ela, so therefore, if a woman married a marriage which is a shniya, like ksuba, the halacha is that she doesn't get the ksuba, nor, according to Rashi, is she entitled to get back the nechsei tzayin barzel. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say that even though she loses the ksuba, the halacha is that she does not lose the nechsei tzayin barzel. Furthermore, the Tosfos ksuba that we mentioned a moment ago, that even though this marriage, as we just discussed, was a marriage which should not have taken place, it's a marriage of a shniya, the Tosfos ksuba represents something that the husband voluntarily offered as a gift to his wife for her agreeing to marry him. And that she's entitled to, even when she's not entitled to the ksuba, the loy peiris. The halacha is, she's not paid a peiris. As we said, the wife brings into the marriage nechse melug, and as we discussed, when the wife brings into the marriage the nechse melug, the peiris, the best example we could give, if she brings a building into the marriage, so the rent that's collected, she brings a tree into the marriage, a garden that for the marriage, the fruits and vegetables are the peiris. The loch is that she that the peiris of the nechse melug that the husband ate all the years of the marriage, the halacha is that he keeps those peiros and he doesn't have to pay them back. And as the Rishonim explain, the reason why Chazal instituted that a woman is entitled, that the husband is entitled to eat the peiros of the nechse melug, for in exchange of for the peiros of the nechse melug, the halacha is that chas v'shalom, were she kidnapped, he would have to pay the ransom. And here the Mishnah is teaching us that even though if she was kidnapped, he would not have to pay the ransom, again, because it's a marriage that should not have taken place, the halacha is still, he keeps the peiros. Chazanish says that even though, the way to understand this Mishnah, says the Chazanish, is not that l'chatchila he's entitled to the peiros. Of course, he's not entitled to the peiros. If it's a marriage that shouldn't have taken place, he's not entitled to the peiros. But explains the Chazanish, the way to understand the Mishnah is that if he did eat the peiros, he doesn't have to pay it back. V'loy mezoinus, he doesn't have to support her. The halacha is that a husband has to support the wife. Not only as long as they're married does he have to support her, but even in a case where he goes overseas, the wife under normal circumstances is allowed to borrow money that the husband will have to pay back. Under certain circumstances, the wife is entitled to continue to be supported after the husband dies. All these halachos do not apply by shnia. V'loy belos. If a wife brings in garments into marriage, so even if they get deteriorated, the halach is when the marriage ends, the husband has to give back what they are. Here, the halach is that she doesn't have to give that. And again, the Reader Rishonim explained the reason the way it works is that he gets the clothing, she gets support in the place. All of that is not applicable here. There are different questions that the Rishonim discuss about different rights that husband and wives have that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. For example, the halacha is that if a wife finds a metzia, or if a wife earns money, or if a wife makes a neder. In all these cases, the halacha is that the husband has the rights. Here, the Ramban says that these rights remain like in a regular marriage. Many other Rishonim disagree, and they say certainly the right that a husband has to annul the nedarim that the wife makes is only by a marriage that we want to see continue. But since this is a marriage with a shnia, which is a marriage that we don't want to see continue, he doesn't have the right to be made for the nedarim. Vavlad, but a child born from a marriage with a shnia is kosher. He's considered a kosher child. He's not considered a mamzer. But for kaifan I say lahaitzi, we demand that they get divorced. Aman al kain gadol, says the Mishnah, however, if a mona marry a kohen gadol, a grush v'chutz marry a kohen hedyot, a mamzeres and a sinah who marry Yisrael, a bas Yisrael and nasa a mamzer, even though these are all situations of a issa d'oraisa, here the halacha is that they are yesh l'ksuba, and as we explained, the Gemara is going to explain that these are all situations of an issa d'oraisa, and since it's an issa d'oraisa, we don't divrei Torah ain't tzrichin chizik. Something which is issa deraisa, we know people refrain from, and therefore people refrain from them. We don't have to make any additional rules to try to see that this marriage should end. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah spoke about a case of a kohen gadol who married an almana, and he has a brother who a regular kohen married an almana, and he has a brother who's a kohen gadol. So that is an example that the Mishnah tells us is Muteris Labal. She's allowed to be married to a husband. Vesura Liyovim. Ask the Gemara, Mayer the Tana Nosa. Why did the Tana have to speak about a case where there was Nesuin between the Kohen Hedyin and the Amona? Listen to Kiddush. The Loch is that as soon as the Kohen Hedyin was Mekadosh the Amona, she's still Osir to the Kohen Gadol because she's an Amona. And that for it will remain a case of Materis Labal Vesura Liyovma. So why did the Mishnah have to speak about a case where the Kohen Hedyin did Nesuin? Even if he didn't do Nesuin, if he even just did Kiddushin, the same Allah would apply. And as I saw, the Achroinim explained this Gemara's question. Usually, when we learn Mishnayis, we don't find that the Tana is so particular with the word Nasa or the word Kiddush. But in our Mishnah, we do find that the Tana is very particular with these words. And therefore, ask the Gemara, since we find that the Tana is so particular with the word, why did the Tana choose to speak about a case of Nasa when he could have taught us the same halacha with Kiddush? V'chitema, if you'll argue that the Mishnah deliberately spoke about a case, the Nasa, where there was Nesuin between the Kohen Hedyin and the Almana. Davale, because then her Issa to marry Kohen Gadol involves an essay and a lois essay. The essay is that the Kohen Gadol is obligated, as the Torah says, ki im besulam amav yikach isha. And there's lois essay, which the Torah says, amana grush v'chalol v'zona eila layokach. Aval, if we were a situation where he only did Kiddushin, so there is only the problem that there is no issue of almana. Maybe the asa, there's only a lisa say of almana, but that say of basula is not applicable because she still is a basula. They only had kedushin the Kohen Hedyin in this woman, and maybe we should therefore suggest that the mitzvah say of yibum should be doicha the lisa say of almana Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara. Why would we think that that is the halacha? For kula pirkin esav lois asay, we've learned so many situations of a woman who's a asa to her yavim with a lav, and we've never suggested for lois we never suggested that esav doicha lois asay. Why would we think that in our Mishnah it's any different? Says the Gemara. So again, we're back to our original question. Why did the Mishnah speak about a case of kohen gadol shenasa salmana? We could have learned the same halacha with kohen Hedyit Shekidish is Almana. Answers the Gemara. Mishum the Karbayla Misni Sefer. Well, when we continue learning the Mishnah, and the Mishnah speaks about a case of Kohen Gadol Shenasa Almana, when the Kohen Gadol married an Almana, and then he has a brother, it doesn't make a difference, who's a Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyit, that she is disqualified to have Yibam with those brothers, because she, by having the suin with the Kohen God, became a halala. But when does she become a halala? Dafka Nasa, because she had the suin with the Kohen God. That's how she became a halala. The shavya halala. It's the bia that makes into halala. But if it was only kiddush, so if a Kohen God was mekadosh al amana, and then he died without children, shayile, she's allowed to marry the brother who's a Kohen Hedyit. That's why in that case it has to be specifically a situation of Nasa. So that's why even though in the case that we've been discussing, it wasn't necessary to be a case of Nasa, says the Gemara, Tana Nami Reisha Safa. So he's learned that as well. At the case of Nasa, even though it wasn't necessary, this case could have been taught just as well with Kiddush. Ask the Gemara, Vada Tana Mishum Safa. If we're saying that the reason that Tana used in this case, the case of Nasa, because what we're going to learn in the Sefer, listening to Mishum Tziyasa, and the Tziya we learned, in the middle case we learned, Kohen Gadol Shekiddush Es Almana, where Kohen Gadol did Kiddushu with Almana, that's an example of V'yesh Le'ach Kohen Hedyit, that's an example of a Sur L'Bal U'Materis L'Yavam, and there it had to be specifically Kiddush, because if the Kohen Gadol was Nasa Almana, as we just said, she would become a Chalala. And she would not be mutter to the brother Kohen Hedyit. And would not be an example, a good example, of a surah labala mutter liyavam. Ella, says the Gemara, so if we're using this example because of another case of the Mishnah brought a case where it has to be Kiddush. So why do we say here to Kiddush and say it's being taught that way because it's similar to this din. Ella, says the Gemara, the reason the Tana in this case spoke about Kohen Hedish Nosos Almona Mishum Baboksa, because we want to talk about its neighbor. Baboksa means the next case. What's the next case? The case was Chol Shenosos L'Ksheira. In the case of a Chol Shenosos L'Ksheira, that's the situation of Muteris L'Balei V'Asuris L'Yivmeim, because the Cholol can marry K'sheira, but she becomes a Chalola. And she becomes a Chalola, and then she can't marry the brother who's not a Chalol. But she only becomes a Chalola, as we've been discussing, Tama de Nasa, the Shavi Chalola. At the moment of Nesuin, she becomes a Chalola. But let's say the Chalol would have only done Kidesh with this woman, and then he died. Sharile, there would be no problem for her to marry the brother of Kayin. So here, it had to be Nasa. Says the Gemara, that's why in the first case of a Kohen Hedish Nasas Almana, the Mishnah also spoke about a case of Kohen Hedish Nasas Almana, even though this halacha could have equally been taught to us with Kohen Hedish Shekidish as Almana. Ask the Gemara, in my area, the Mishnah spoke about a case of a Kohen Hedish that did Nasun with Almana, and he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol, which is an example of Muteris Labal Vesur Liyavam. Ask the Gemara, we could have taught this with my Iri Almana. Why do we have to speak about a case of Kohen Hedish Shenosos Almana? Listen to Basula. We could have talked about a case that he married a Basula, and the moment he marries her, she becomes a Ba'ula, and therefore, if he dies and his surviving brother is a Kohen Gadol, he can't do Yibam. So why do we have to talk about a case of Kohen Hedish Shenosos Almana? We could have taught this case with Kohen Hedish Shenosos as a Basula. Says the Gemara V'chitana, V'chitema, going back to a subject that we discussed extensively at the beginning of the Masechta. What is the defining moment of Yibam? So we learned a machlokes. Is it the moment of death, which is the generally accepted opinion, or is it the moment of the original marriage? And if the original marriage was a kosher marriage, and if at the time of that marriage there was nothing wrong with the marriage, then she becomes a candidate for Yibam. So if it's going to be the case that she was a psula when the Kohen Hedit married her, so at that point she was mutter to the Yavam. And if we say in the Sun Rishonim Apilim, even though now he's a Kohen Gadol, and now she's Almana, it doesn't change, because we look at the moment of the marriage. And that's why the Mishnah to speak about a case that when the Kohen Hedid brother married her, she was already an Almana. But says the Gemara, I could show you clearly that our Mishnah is of the opinion that the moment that we look at, is she or isn't she a candidate for Yibam, is the moment of death. Because the Tana spoke about example, Materis Labaleim Vesur Slav Meim, Cholo Shanasa K'shera. That a Chala married a K'shera, V'loyamrinim, we don't say in the Sun or Shonim Apilim that she should have Yibam, because at the time of Kedushin, she wasn't a Chalola. We look at the moment of death, and at the moment of death, she was a Chalola. So we see our Mishnah certainly doesn't follow the opinion of the Sun or Shonim Apilim. Says the Gemara, Havadim Hashem Sefer. The reason, we're back to our original question, why the Mishnah begin with an example of Kohen Hedit Shenosos Almana, Shunda Kabay Lamisna, we want to speak about a case, Shunda Bay Lamisna Sefer, Kohen Gol Shenosos Almana, V'yeshlei Ach Kohen Gol Kohen Hedit, Dafka Almana, because the Kohen Gadol did Nesun with the Salmana, and by doing Nesun with the Salmana, she becomes a Chalala, Ava Basula, had he done the Sun with Basula, Chazilei, she would not become a Chalola. So since in that case, it had to say Nasa, Shemachik Tani, that's why in the case of a Kohen Hedit marrying, it also spoke about Shenasa Almana. So now Abba Gemara brings different examples of other marriages that should have taken place or not should have taken place, and why weren't they mentioned in our Mishnah? Maskler Apapa. If the halacha is as Rabbi Yochanan taught us, Rabbi Yochanan taught us, we've learned that the halacha is that a Mitzri who's Megayer, only a third generation Mitzri can marry into Klal Yisrael. First generation and second generation Mitzrim cannot. Mitzri sheni. So we'll have somebody who's a Mitzri sheni. That means his father was a Mitzri who was Megayer. So he's a second generation Mitzri. Shenasa Mitzri Shrishoina, who married a Mitzri Shrishoina. And as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that we look at the bigger Pagam. We look which is considered the bigger issue. So since this child who's going to be born from this marriage, his mother is a Rishoina, his father is a Sheni, we call him a Mitzri B'na Sheni Havre. He's considered a Shneni, and since he's only a Mitzri Sheni, we learned that he's not allowed to marry into Kal Hashem. So listening, Nami, so ask the Gemara, the Mishnah should have mentioned the following example. The Mishnah should have mentioned an example. Mitzri Sheni, Shenasa Shtei Mitzrayas. A Mitzri Sheni married two women who are Mitzrayas. But one is a Rishayna, and one is a Shniya. And V'hayle Bonim, Mirishayna, he had children from the Ishta Rishayna, which those children are going to be considered Shenis. And he had children from the Shniya, that those children are going to be considered Shlishi. And as we said, a Mitzri Shlishi is a full-fledged Jew. The Nos of Kirchayu, and now these two brothers married women that they're allowed to. That means the Mitzri Shani married a woman that he's allowed to marry, not a full-fledged Jew. The Mitzri Shlishi married a full-fledged Jewish woman. The halacha will be mutaris l'baleim. They're going to be mutter to their husband. A Mitzri Shani can marry a Mitzri Shania. A Mitzri Shlishi can marry Yisraelis. Besuras l'yevmeim. But they're not going to be mutter to their yevamim, because the Shani is not allowed to marry Yisraelis, and the Mitzri Shnia is not allowed to marry a Yisrael. The Epech v'Nosuf, and if what happened was just the opposite, everybody married a woman that she shouldn't have, there would be an example, a Mataris Liyavmeyem and a Suras Lebaleyem. So ask the Gemara, why wasn't this example mentioned in our Mishnah? And says the Gemara, we could have had an example of Mataris Laelu Laelu, where the wife can be mutter to her husband and to her and to his brother. Where will it be that, as we learned earlier, that Kahal Gerim Lo Yikri Kol, and since Kahal Gerim Lo Yikri Kol, so the Mitzri Sheni is allowed to marry a Geyrus, and the Mitzri Shlishis is allowed to marry a Geyrus. So if the Mitzri Sheni married a Geyrus, and now he dies, his brother, the Mitzri Shlishi, is allowed to marry to his wife. And so too would be true vice versa. What would be an example of a Suras L'Elu V'Elu? It could be by idleness. A woman who can't have children, the halacha is that such a woman doesn't have Yibum, and she can be married to her husband, the Mitzri Sheni, and she's also to her brother-in-law because she's an islandess. So ask the Gemara, why haven't we mentioned all these various cases that belong in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Tana V'Shayer. The Mishnah does not represent an exhaustive list. There are examples that are left. Ask the Gemara, whenever we learn in Shas the teretz of Tana V'Shayer, the Mishnah always has to find additional exceptions, because the Mishnah doesn't only omit one case. Ask the Gemara, my Shai the Ishayer, what other cases have been omitted? It says the Gemara Shai Ptsudaka. The Mishnah left out Ptsudaka because a Ptsudaka is not supposed to marry into Klal Yisrael, and if we wanted, we could figure out all the examples. Mataris Lazev, Asur Lazev, etc., with a Tzudaka. So we see that the Mishnah's list is not exhaustive. As says the Gemara, Imishim Tzudaka, if that's what you want to choose as the example of something that our Mishnah omitted, that's Lav Shur. That's not considered something that the Mishnah left out. Why? Datana Lechai V'Lavin. The Mishnah spoke about Chai V'Lavin. A Tzudaka is a Chai V'Lavin. So it didn't have to go into all the cases of a Chai V'Lavin, because we already know that the Mishnah is speaking about Chai V'Lavin. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke about many examples of Chai V'Lavin, and it wasn't bothered by the fact that we keep on speaking about Chai V'Lavin. The Mishnah, when the Tana, even though the Tana spoke about some examples of Chai V'Lavin, it didn't prevent the Tana from mentioning other cases of Chai V'Lavin. Aren't there many examples of Chai V'Lavin that are repeated in the Mishnah? We speak about Kohen Gadol Hedyot that marries an Almana, that is a Chai V'Lavin, and then we speak about a Cholol Shenasek Sheira. So we see that Chai V'Lavin are repeated. Answers the Gemara, whom the cases that are repeated of a Cholol Shenasek Sheira, the reason the Tana mentioned that case, the Tana wanted to teach us that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Dom Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, a kohen is not a married chalola. Of a kohenis, that means a woman who's born from a father who's a kohen, she's a perfectly kosher kohenis, is not a married chalol. So our Mishnah that speaks about a chol shenasek sheira is talking about a kohenis. And the Mishnah is teaching us that this is a situation, she's muteris labala, that even though she's a perfectly fine kohenis, she's allowed to marry her husband who's a cholol, but she will not be at this point allowed to marry the brother who's a regular kohen, because a regular kohen is not allowed to marry a cholol. Even though, as Tosfos points out, Tosfos, that usually when the Mishnah uses the word Elu, it means it's a definitive list. Since the Elu in our Mishnah is not to indicate that this is the list, nothing more, but the Mishnah has used the word Elu only show these are the illustrations of the rules that we began with, this Elu is not a question that we could still say Tana V'Shayer. Ask the Gemara, Vok Tani, our Mishnah spoke about Cholol Shenasek Sheira, V'yesh Le'ach Kasher, that would be an example of Materis Labala V'sur L'Yavma, because he's a Kayin. And then the Mishnah spoke about Yisrael Shenasek Bas Yisrael, V'yesh Le'ach Mamzer. Isn't that a repetition of the same case? Says the Gemara, Ho'nami Lo'imahedem Misnehi. This too is not considered a repetition. Dashminin. First, the Mishnah spoke about a chol shenasek sheira, which is something that only applies to kohanim. And then the Mishnah speaks about a lav hashav b'kol, a lav that applies to everybody. That means mamzer. It has if the that's not considered a repetition, because first the Tana wanted to speak about a lav she'en hashav b'kol, and then the Tana wanted to speak about a lav hashav b'kol. But there's no reason to mention Betsu Daka. It's already covered in the category of Alav Hashava B'kol. Why was it needed to be repeated? Says the Gemara, I'll still show you that the Mishnah repeats cases. Haktani, the Mishnah says Yisrael Shenos Mamzeres V'yesh Lo Ach Yisrael. Why is it needed to be repeated? It's Alav Hashava B'kol. We already mentioned it. Alav Shmamino. The Tana V'Shayer, that the Tana does repeat, and even though the Tana does repeat, it still didn't mention Betsu Daka. And just like it didn't mention Betsu Daka, it did not mention the case of a Mitzri, who the Mishnah doesn't mention all cases. It says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Yudah Marav, Lehuzruk Sheris Linasla Psulam. As we mentioned earlier, the Torah does not disallow a Kehenis for marrying a cholol, lema sile. So the Gemara says, "I'll bring you a raya from what we learned in the Mishnah." The Mishnah spoke about a case of cholol shenasek sheira. My laugh. Who's the sheira that's mentioned in our Mishnah? It means a kohenis, haruyala, a full-fledged kohenis. Or my sheira, and what makes her sheira? Sheira lakuna. So we see from here that a cholol is allowed to marry a kohenis. Says the Gemara, the proof is not compelling. Loi, where the Mishnah is not talking about that the Cholol married a Kohenis. The Mishnah is speaking about he married a Yisraelis. Why is she called Kshera? Or my Kshera? Because she's Kshera Lakol. Says the Gemara, if the Mishnah speaks, if that's the case of the Mishnah continued saying, Chol Shanais Nasa Kshera, V'yeshle Ach Kosher. Nami, are we going to say the Kosher Lakol? That we're going to say that the Kosher that meant here means there's a regular Jew, Mechlal, that he is Posel, that he's not considered a full-fledged Jew. That's not true. A cholel is not considered a defective Jew. He's not a koyin, but he's not a defective Jew. Elalav, what must we say? When we speak about kosher, we mean that he's a koyin kosher. So says the Gemara, if when we use the word kosher regarding him, it means to say that he's a koyin kosher, so mudahu, that's the definition of kosher, that he's a kohen kosher. Isn't that a proof that he, when the Mishnah uses the word kshera, it means a kohenes kshera. And the Mishnah is telling, and therefore the Mishnah goes back to what Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav teaches us, the Gemara goes back to that, is a proof that a kohenes is allowed to marry a cholol. Says the Gemara, this proof is not compelling. Yes, the Mishnah used the word kosher. Yes, the Mishnah used the word kshera. But even though the Mishnah used the word kosher and kshera, doesn't mean that it's exactly the same. Hakadisa v'akadisa. When the word kosher is used regarding the man, it indeed means that he's a full-fledged kohen. When the word kshera is used by the woman, doesn't mean that she's a kohenes. Rather, what it means is that she is kshera l'kol. And the word kosher and kshera do not have to be synonymous. And therefore, since they don't have to be synonymous, again, the Mishnah is not a raya to the halacha. The Rav taught us that loyhuzru ksheres l'nasa psulim, that a kohenes may not marry a cholol. Our Mishnah at this point is not a raya to that, is certainly not a raya to that halacha the Rav taught us.